this episode, we hear from Siobhan, who talks all about the work in North East Essex around health and combining that with education, making sure we listen to young people to improve the services that are provided for children and their families.
A massive thank you to Provide, who are sponsoring Series 5 of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. They are a community interest company offering services across Essex, providing outstanding care. And if you want to find out more about them, please visit their website at www.provide.org.uk. So, Siobhan, could you just start by telling us a little bit about your current role?
Okay. Hi, Kieran. So my current role actually is quite new, so I'm still learning it a little bit. So taking on a much wider role across all of Essex, whereas prior to that, I was working just in North East Essex patch. But now I work with all what we call the other clinical commissioning groups. So the people who are responsible for buying services, making sure they're the right services for children and families, to try really to improve what our offer is to not just children, but families as a whole. And the most important thing is that we try and offer similar across Essex. So a child or a family in North East Essex is going to get something similar in West Essex. It might be called something different or it might look like something different on paper, but to a family or to a child or to a young person, they should be experiencing the same type of service, which we hopefully will be a good experience. So that's probably it in a nutshell. So it's quite challenging because there are five of those clinical commissioning groups, and we don't just work with health. It involves the schools. It involves yourself, as you know. It involves the parents. It involves the carers. It involves the clinical people, anybody who's in, might be involved with a child or a family. So it's much bigger than what you think it is really in terms of health. It's a much bigger role than that.
I think that's really important for people to hear, that kind of multi-agency working that is so key for young people so they get the best support.
Yeah.
We recently spoke to Lisa Gridley, who spoke about obviously speech, language and communication and a balanced system and trying to get that offer across Essex. So that links in really nicely. But you also mentioned there, obviously, we've worked together, and I'm not just saying it because I'm here speaking to you today, but you've been brilliant with supporting the multi-school. So could you just tell everyone, you know, how we started working together and how you got involved with the multi-schools?
I seem to recall you were looking for money maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm just trying to, and then what I thought was you'd make a nice match for my daughter. So I think that's how our conversation started. And I couldn't believe you were a teacher because you looked either far too young or actually I'm far too old for all of this malarkey nowadays. So I seem to remember that was probably our first meeting. But joking aside, I think really you were quite new in post and you were trying to establish some connections, and the world of health is so huge, as we know. Where do you even start to unravel? Who are the people you need to talk to kind of try and get the voice of the child and the family heard onto the right forum? So we were just put in touch together and we just had a chat, didn't we, really, about, you know, what your role was, what my role was, and what we could do together, really. And I think you went away with a blank sheet of paper, I seem to recall, having had a lengthy conversation with me to think about, well, actually, what might you like to do with your young people? Something that connects you more with health at that stage, and to come back with some ideas, really. So I seem to recall that was kind of the first conversation we had. And of course, you did come back with a bit of a plan of what you might want to do. And that was the start of our working relationship. And that's where the resilience program came into its own, really, and into life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going to go on to talk about now. But just so listeners know as well, you didn't actually set me up with your daughter. You just mentioned it, just so people know.
Oh, no.
Set that bit in there.
Worth a try.
So, yeah, the resilience program, as you say, that's kind of, it was important for young people at that time. It's what they wanted. But from your perspective, Siobhan, and the CCG, why did you support the resilience program? Why was it needed?
Well, I think like anything, you have to start at the end. What is it you're trying to get out of it? So I think what you had set out, what the young people had said they wanted to know about, to talk about, to have a forum or a platform or somewhere where they could just talk through the stuff that was important to them. So I think really, because of what you put down on paper in terms of what the young people wanted to get out of it, I actually agreed with it. So that was the most important thing, because often I think if you have an idea and the person in front of you thinks, oh, I don't know, that doesn't sound like it has any legs, or that's not something we'd be interested in, or there's no money to be made out of that, or whatever, you lose it. Whereas, and I suppose really because we'd had that conversation, we were both on the same page, because I would like to think, having had children myself and the work I have been doing, that I had a good understanding of where the gaps were and what young people were saying. What we didn't get was, well, what can we do about it? Because this is a different way of working, handing over some funding to another agency for something that's slightly different that we haven't done before. So for me, I don't worry about testing things, or pilots, as we call it, the land of pilots. That's what we have in health, where we just do something and then it all stops. If you get some learning out of it, and if you get some learning and feedback from the young people that worked, that helped. And that's what you were able to show, actually, after the first few programs, that the feedback from the young people was, well, actually, that was really helpful to me as a person. So that's the nugget, really. If it adds something to that person's life, then why wouldn't, you know, my challenge back is, well, why wouldn't you just carry on, do some more of that? So that was kind of why we wanted to invest and try it and just see what came back, from rather than the normal traditional kind of health way that we deliver health messages, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm really pleased that, again, that you've mentioned that, because I hope other, you know, professionals will listen to this. And as you've kind of pointed out there, the most important thing is that we listen to, I don't like the word service users, but the people that are going to experience the things we design and co-produce. So starting with young people has to be the way forwards. And so fast forward kind of 18 months in North Essex, we've also kind of been involved in another project now, lots of our young people involved in this too. So the neurodevelopmental pathway, which I know at the start very much you kind of was a real driver for, Siobhan. Can you just tell us a bit about the pathway?
So we've always known that our pathway, which really essentially is the steps that we take and the care that we give for a child or a young person or a family that might be going through a journey around special education needs and disabilities. So what we wanted to do was to try and design and develop a pathway, that's what we call it, to make sure that for every child and every family who are at any point of their journey, that they receive the right type of support and care. So that was the starting point. But how do you do that? Because, you know, we don't know from our own health perspective. We think we know, we make assumptions. But when you then start talking to families and children and siblings and grandparents and the wider family, it's much more than what we thought. So we're still quite ignorant. So my first port of call really was, let's get the experts together to tell us what it's like on the ground, how difficult it is. And we know some of this stuff. We do know some of this stuff from what families have told us, what the inspectors have told us. And what the young people have told us, and also what the GPs have told us, that the whole system is kind of frustrated and doesn't quite know what to do. So what we needed to do was to bring those experts together to listen to how it is on the ground currently, and then how it might look if we actually use that expertise and that feedback mechanism to design something that actually has an impact on that individual. But the beauty of this is that if it adds value to the person, the system, as we call it, so health and education, everybody benefits from it. So even the GP who's frustrated because she doesn't know where to send a child or young family at all will benefit, because they're able to signpost them or send them to somebody who can support them, to the paediatrician who does that assessment, who then says, well, where do I send them for support? I have no idea. That's what that care pathway would do, is design some steps and put in these little interventions around support to help the families as they progress during the journey. So there's a huge benefit to, again, the individual, which is the most important thing. But the added benefit is then the system comes together and starts to think, actually, we need more than one intervention that we need to put in to make this successful. And that's what that pathway does. If you get it right, it brings all those people in the system together, wrapped around the individual, to say, well, these are the steps we're going to take with the family or the young person on that journey. Doesn't matter what the outcome is of the journey, doesn't matter when they come on the pathway or anything, so that every child or family have access to the right support at the right time with the right person.
Yeah, and I feel like from our perspective, we've had a really good starting point, and it's been a really good process. And as you said, there's been lots of people involved in that process. But as you say, now is the time to make sure that then goes into making sure it does make a difference to children and families.
I think just to add to that, the one thing that I learned quite quickly was we do tend to focus on parents, and that's just historically what the parents say, what the parents want, what the parents think. And it quickly became evident that for every parent, we make the mistake of treating our children like children when actually they're young adults, and they have a voice and they have an opinion, which might not be the same as their parents, which as parents, we argue with. We know we do. Like, that's your opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But actually, what we weren't so good at was actually saying, well, OK, that's the parents' view. But what about the child's view? And that quickly became apparent. And that was the light bulb moment for me, was it isn't always what the parents want. I remember something that came back from the multi-schools about one of the young people feeding back, saying, well, what does that diagnosis mean to me? How does that affect me? It was as simple as that. And actually, what a great, fully loaded question. We've heard what it means to the family and the parents, but actually we missed the point.
Yeah.
What does it mean to that young adult, that young person? And that was the nugget, really. So yeah, that's why it's been fantastic to do that piece of co-production, because actually it is true co-production. We're not just going to the parents, we're actually going there to the young people and saying, tell us as it is, because they see the world very differently to
absolutely. And that's what we hear all the time, kind of, you know, not using the same language but exactly the same kind of lines, is that they can very much be forgotten because it's the expert's opinion or it's the you know, the parent's opinion, but actually the best experts are the children themselves. So I was really pleased with the process and how they were involved. Just obviously I know myself, but just so people who are listening understand, how were the children involved in kind of the development of the pathway? What kind of stood out for you with their involvement?
So what we have to do with the pathway is we have to set it out, what it might look like. So we ask everybody's opinion, what it might look like, what's important to them. So that was our starting point, really, was the blank sheet of paper, which you taught us to use. We start with a blank sheet of paper. So we gave you the blank sheet of paper, and I asked you, could you take it to your focus group with the blank sheet of paper, just to start talking about stuff through your resilience program, about what they wanted to know, what it felt like on the ground to them, what was important to them, and what good would look like for them, really. So once we started to get those descriptions of how it might look, then we tried to marry that up with the evidence. There's always got to be an evidence base, really. If you're looking for money, if you're looking for funding or people to work together, you know, has somebody written about this and does it work? Is it a good idea to involve young people? Yes, it is. Is it a good idea to involve parents? Siblings was the other bit as well, where again, the focus is on parents, but not siblings. So what we wanted to do with your focus groups was just to get a feel of how it is on the ground, and how not a label, how a condition might affect not just them, but the family as a whole. And that helps us then to design the pathway and who should be involved, and the different types of support for mum or for dad or for the absent dad, or, you know, the grandparents or the siblings. So we use that information that came back from the focus groups to then think, well, OK, what are we going to do about it? How can we make this a bit better? And one of the big things is we really recognise is we don't have the different types of support that are needed, because for one child over here, they might find that helps, or for another type of support service that might help them. So we recognise there's different types of support that all children and families might want at different times. So what we've done in Northeast Essex is we've now gone out to what we call the market to buy some of that different type of support. So we've asked people who might be interested to come up with some ideas in response to what the children said and the family said. And that is a bit of the process where we're going through at the moment. So people are putting their ideas together to say, okay, we could offer this. And the reason for that is that we've done a bit of research here. We've listened to parents and we've listened to families, and this is what we could offer.
Yeah, yeah. And again, what you've really described there well, Siobhan, is our ethos of that kind of bottom-up approach. So again, you're talking to the young people first before you've made the decisions, because, yeah, you know, you hear co-production branded about sometimes where the decisions really have already been made and then they'll just go and check in. And yeah, that's not true co-production. So yeah.
And following on for that, which is really important, we've involved our young people and yourselves in the interviewing process. Yes. So the people we're going to bring in to have that that immediate support and access to, we're not picking the person that looks good on the page or that looks like Kieran with his tie and his shirt that looks like, oh yeah, he looks very professional. We were very specific what the parents told us they wanted, the type of person they wanted, and the young people, what were the traits that they would work with them. Because what we have heard from services, which is I can understand how it happens, is, oh, that child or family won't engage. They're a really difficult family. They don't turn up for appointments. So therefore, that's the end. That's the end game. But actually, if you unravel that a little bit, sometimes it's about the how people talk to each other and the personality and the skills. Yes. So it was really important for us when we recruit and employ the care pathway coordinators, of which there will be two, that it doesn't just meet the parents' needs or my needs, as in the clinical commissioning group, it meets the young person's needs. And it would be somebody that they would work with and think, yeah, okay, he's a bit odd, but, you know, I can talk to him or whatever. Or, gosh, yeah, that person's really nice. I can text them at any time. So we were looking for the right person, but that's not a decision that's owned by just one person. That's where that panel, including the young people, are being involved in to make sure we get the right type of person to deliver some of that support.
Yeah. And again, that part of the process was brilliant. And I must mention a massive well done to Reese Codderwind and Mason, because they were the interviewees.
Excellent.
Or the interviewers, sorry.
And did they enjoy it?
Yeah, they really enjoyed it. And they were really pleased that their kind of thoughts and comments were really listened to. So
any feedback on that process, I'd be delighted to hear, because you know, Northeast Essex, we really have set the direction in terms of co-production and design. We want to share that good kind of stuff that happens, really, so that other areas in Essex will say, it's a good idea to have some young people on the panel, perhaps. Is.
Well, absolutely it is. It really, really worked. So that links really nicely, Siobhan, into the last question, which is about moving forwards, really, and kind of we're always looking to improve, that's education, health, wherever. What would you like to see, or how else would you like to see children involved in health improvements over the next few years?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that we've done and we're starting to use in Northeast Essex, if it was my wish list, I'd like to see our logo, the multi-schools logo, which is very simple, very visual, that I can't remember the young lady's name off the top of my head. Kim, that's it, yeah. Who designed a logo for us, which for me, without having to write pages of who you engaged with or produced with or whatever, that's the stamp. And that stamp says, we have listened to young people, we have worked with them, not the word engaged with them, but we've worked with them. And we're going to put the stamp on there that it's like a kite mark almost, that which endorses any work that we're doing, that you have been involved and you have just been sent a document to have a look and review. You've actually been involved in the blood, the sweat and the tears of designing a piece of work, which is the way that it should be, to get the really good satisfaction at the end of it, that we produce something together. So for me, it's something simple. That stamp says an awful lot by just seeing it, is that you were actually involved, because I don't think we're there yet, and we're certainly not there across Essex. Some of it is around how people have just been used to the way they've been working and sending documents to young people or to yourselves to review. No, we need to turn that on its head to say, here's the blank sheet of paper that Kieran says is our starting point. Let's just have a bit of a brain dump about this, and then let's unravel it and go from there and really design it into something really exciting. So that's what I would like to see, is the blank sheet of paper is your starting point, and then you build on that. But then what I'd like to see is like the Queen's stamp at the end of it to say, yeah, the multi-schools were involved in this.
Yeah, no, brilliant. That's really, really, really good to hear. And absolutely, Kim's logo design was fantastic. And again, thank you to everyone involved for allowing, you know, her and the other children to help design that. So really, really good to talk to you, Siobhan. And I'm sure lots of people are going to be interested, not just in the pathway, but, you know, in how we're linking between education and health and how we will continue to do that moving forward. So thanks for your time.
Lovely. Thanks, Kieran, very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
A massive thank you to Provide, who are sponsoring Series 5 of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. They are a community interest company offering services across Essex, providing outstanding care. And if you want to find out more about them, please visit their website at www.provide.org.uk.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.